Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter number 51. Psalm chapter number 51. You may be familiar with that. You should be if you're not, but you hopefully will be by the time we finish today. In light of the revival, this is a message that I hope will encourage us, even as the bulletin said. Many times in our life, we fail to recognize the sin in our life. But today, we are a people of problems. I mean, literally, we are. From physical to mental to emotional to spiritual, I would say today from time to time that we all have problems with our health, with our finances, with our families, sometimes with other people. I could stand here today and chronicle all the issues I have right now, but I'm not going to bore you with that. But I want to say today we all have trouble, but I've come to understand the biggest problem I have is not my finances, it's not my health, or some other person. My greatest problem is myself. And I believe in my relationship to the Christ, I am my own worst enemy. I'm the biggest problem that I face in life, and without knowing every detail of your life, I'd venture to guess that that would be true of you also. When I read the book of Psalm, and especially Psalm 51, we find David perhaps would agree with what I'm saying this morning. David served the Lord. He was used by the Lord to accomplish great things, but David had a problem. All the problems that existed in his life was not the real problem. The real problem was David himself. I must address this before I go any further. It seems unusual, but the Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man that sinned and did things probably that is amazing. And if you don't already know, you will know before the service is over this morning. But David's problem was not the giant Goliath that he faced. He actually won that battle without much problem at all. His problem was not with King Saul, who King Saul sought to kill David. He ran from him and literally had an opportunity to kill Saul, but he did not do it because he would not touch the Lord's anointing. But the biggest problem David had was when he looked in the mirror and stared back at himself, what was revealed to him. We find in Psalm 51, David is laying out, he's bearing his soul regarding his sin and wickedness that dwelt within his heart. You see, today all of us have problems and all of us will sin. In fact, today anybody that says that they don't sin, they're a liar because the Bible said we all sin. Said him to knoweth to do good and doeth not to him it is sin. So you say, well, how are we going to talk about the things David did in a minute? You're going to say, man, how in the world could David be a man after God's own heart? The reason he was a man after God's own heart is even though when he sinned, he knew God was still in charge. He knew where to go in his time of need. He knew how to confess his sin and make things right with God. I'm afraid today that in our society, we've gotten so used to sin anymore that it doesn't seem to have the sting that it once had. And yet today, I believe in order to have revival, I believe in order for God to bless our life, I believe in order for us to live a blessed, happy life, we must deal with the issue of sin in our life and confess our sin and do what God would have us to do is confess that sin, and He'll be faithful and just to forgive us of that sin. When David looked in the mirror, and by the way, I often reference Psalm 51 as literally being a mirror for David's soul. No doubt he began to see himself as he is. You see, today what we need to understand is we need to see how God sees us. You remember Isaiah when he said over in the book of Isaiah, he said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And he talked about his sin and being able to get right with God. So how sinful he was, and he understood that. As we study these verses, we're going to have to move quickly. But God will hold the same mirror before us to reveal our sin. By the way, the preaching service today is somewhat like a mirror. The reason you come today is not I can't impress you with my speech, I can't impress you with my message, but what I can do today is reveal to you what the Word of God says. If you're listening and if you're heeding and doing what God would have you to do, you will hear and see in the Word of God your own life and see you who you were. I've not always been serving the Lord. There was a time I was away from God. I mean, I was away from God. But God brought me back. And you know when He brought me back? It's because, yes, I heard good preaching and I heard people presenting the Word of God, but it was God revealing to me just how rotten and dirty a sinner that I really was and what I needed to do in order to make it right. The Bible said in James 1, 22 and 25, and I'm going to get to my text in a minute, but it said, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, somewhat like a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So the Bible is compared to a mirror. And we come today, no, we don't have a mirror that we're going to have you look at today to see yourself. But today what you need to do is we bring the Word of God. You need to examine yourself and see if God is dealing with you about certain things in your life that perhaps need to be made right. And so the title of the message today is The Revelation in the Mirror. The revelation in the mirror when we look and see ourselves. The first thing I want you to notice with me today is David's admission of guilt. You know, today, in order to be saved, you know, the first step to being saved is realizing you're a sinner. I talk to people sometime and I say, listen, have you ever been born again? Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Do you have that assurance? I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm not talking about all those things that many have done. And there's nothing wrong with those things. They are biblical. But salvation comes when we recognize that we're a sinner. And then we confess that sin to God. And so David, again, we find here in this passage of Scripture, he's realizing where he is. He's realizing his failures and what he's done, and he's crying out to God. He said in verses 1 and 2, have mercy upon me, in Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. He says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is before me. That's a man that sees himself as God sees. And as we move today, we think about the setting. What brought this on? Why is David at this point in his life asking God to have mercy upon him? Because David had committed some wicked sin. Again, this is not anything that justifies anything. In fact, everything he did was wrong. But if you remember David in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse number 12, David committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba. Obviously, he did, and because of that relationship, she became pregnant. But the problem with that was Bathsheba was married. She was married to a man named Uriah, and Uriah was out in the field fighting for David and the nation of Israel, and he was fighting with them. He was a great warrior in David's army. So here's David not knowing what he's going to be able to do. So he figures if he can get Uriah to come home and spend time with his wife, then obviously everybody would think the baby belonged to Uriah. But you see, Uriah had more character at the time than David did. Because he sent in the battle and told him to send Uriah home. And they sent him home. And so he told him, said, go into your family with your wife. Take some time off. And yet Uriah was so dedicated to his cause and to his leader that he said, as long as my men are out there on the battlefield fighting, I will not go into my home and enjoy the benefits that I can have in my home. And so he slept on the outside. He would not go in. So what did David do? David, now remember, this is a man God called after his own heart, but I believe the reason he did is because of what we see revealed in Psalm 51. And so he refused to do it. David's plan had failed, and he only knew one other way. So he gave a note to one of the leaders in the army, and he said, here, take this to the very captain of the armies that's leading. And in that note, and Uriah, again, being a man of character, being a man that did not betray his king and the one that was over him, he did not read the letter. He took the letter, he took it, presented it to the captain in charge. But you know what the letter said? He said, put Uriah at the forefront of the battle. If he won't go into his wife and I can't trick him that way, then somebody will just put him on the forefront of the battle. He'll lose his life. Now, friend, I'm going to tell you today, we read that and we say, how in the world could this be? How in the world could God deal with something like that? Well, David was not only guilty of adultery, but he was now guilty of murder. A year goes by, and during that time, David marries Bathsheba. She gives birth to the baby. And of course, we know later, and I'm not going to go that far, but later on, we know that baby dies, by the way. But one day, David was around, and God sent a man. He sent a prophet, a preacher, if you will. You see, today, the joy of preaching the Word of God is it's not for me to present what I think, but to give you what the Word of God says. And then it's God's job to work through your heart to bring you to the place you need to be. So one day, there was a man that showed up at David's house, and his name was Nathan, the prophet. And so he came to David, and he told David about a very rich man that took everything that another poor man had. He took advantage over him. And when he told David that, David got mad and angry. He was mad. He could not think of a rich man having something to do, taking advantage of the poor man. But yet, when it was all said and done, Nathan pointed his finger at David and he said, "David, thou art the man." In other words, David, the man I'm talking about, you that took advantage of the poor man, is you're the man that took advantage of Bathsheba and Uriah. And because of that, now you have committed adultery. Now you have committed murder. And what a stage you're in. So Nathan's story was an allegory of design to expose David's sin. And he said, "Thou art the man." By taking Bathsheba as his mistress, by murdering Uriah, David was saved, but he brought the chastisement of God upon his life. You know, today we think, and listen, I believe we get saved. Thank the Lord for the freedom and the liberty that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand, being a Christian is not everything going the way we want it to go, because the Bible said, "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son." I don't have time today in the message, but I could tell you, David literally suffered the rest of his life, one thing after another, and yet I believe with all my heart it was the chastisement of God. You said, "Well, didn't God forgive him?" Yes, I believe God forgave him, but I believe above God's forgiveness, we find that even though God forgives, it does not erase the consequences of our sin and the things that we do. And so let's just say it needs to be the same today. When sin is tolerated in our lives, it brings the judgment of God. We need to understand today, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. But the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It said that we're to walk in His way and in His path. And I'm going to tell you today, I honestly fear the Lord. I'm not afraid of Him, because He's tender, as we see in these verses, and His mercy is great. But I fear Him if I don't do what I need to do and get things right. And I say all that to say this, we'll never have revival until we see ourselves as God sees us. And God moves in our heart to confess our sin and get right with God. He's not going to send revival among a people with unconfessed sin that is unwilling to do anything about it. The thing that made David a man after God's own heart, even though he sinned, I'm glad today to know that my God can forgive any sin. He can forgive every sin. If we just realize we're sinners and we need His forgiveness. The next thing I want you to notice is the scope of his sin. Notice in verse 2, he calls out his sin. He said, "Wash me thoroughly with thy in mine iniquity." But also in verse number 1, he talks about my transgressions. The word transgression is another word for iniquity and sin. But all three describe David's wrongdoings. David has come to a point in his life, no doubt, whether he probably did not look in a physical mirror, but he looked into the mirror of the Word of God and he cried out, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." In other words, "Lord, help me." The word there talks about sin. Sin means to miss the mark or fall short. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And I'm glad today. And by the way, David understood he didn't have it in his power. That's why Psalm 51 was written. He knew the only power and strength he had was in God's power, for God to reveal to him what he needed to do. The word transgression means to cross over a boundary, to walk away in rebellion. So many times we willfully disregard the Word of God. I'm not saying that it can't happen. I hope it does happen. But I remember as a little boy, I remember going to preaching. And I remember hearing preaching. And I remember invitation being given. And I remember people filling the altar. I remember people getting saved. I remember people that had backslid and was in sin getting right with God. And friend, that's what we need today more than we ever have. The word iniquity gets to the heart of the problem. It's referred to something that is bent or crooked, bent towards sin. We do not become sinners because of who we are, although we are sinners, we're born sinners, but we do not remain sinners after we're saved. The Bible said we become new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Does it mean we're going to be perfect? No. There's no Christian today that's perfect. We all sin, and hopefully, maybe not even as bad as David did, but the fact is, sin is sin, and there's no difference in what it is. We find the source of our sin. We like to blame it on the devil. We like to blame it on the world. But you know what? It's a little closer to home than that. Our sin needs to be blamed on the one responsible, and that's the man or woman that's looking in the mirror and God revealing to them the things they need to see. David tells us that iniquity in his heart was more the source of sin in his flesh. His sin had infected every area of his life. And I know I've repeated this many times, but it comes to mind right now. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. And I'm telling you, David is a broken man in verses 1 through 6. And let me just read verses 5 and 6 because we've read the others. But he said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." That tells us right there we don't have to do anything to go to hell. We're headed there because we're born in sin. Not because of anything our mother did, but simply because of Adam and Eve in the garden sinned against God. He said, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." So I read these verses. I detect a great brokenness in the life of David. Another thing that's lacking in the church today is tears. I tell you today, we need to get broken about our relationship with God. We need to get broken about our sin and the things we're doing. And so David cries out in verse 1. The first thing he says is, "Lord, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." I tell you today, no better place to go. In fact, there's no other place to go when you're sin, but to go to God and confess your sin and get right. Sadly, we sin, and then we allow it to dwell within us, and we get used to it. And it doesn't seem to offend us. It doesn't seem to us, it doesn't seem to offend God, but it does. Our world is so filled with sin that we've literally become desensitized. I tell you, I often say my daddy's been gone 22 years. He would be in shock at the things that exist today in our society. The Bible in 1 Timothy 4:2 talks about something called a hot iron. It sears you. It scars you to where you literally become insensitive. You don't have the ability to feel. When you come to the house of God, if you come with the right attitude and the right mind, you ought to come in saying, "Lord, whatever the pastor has today, whatever the word has to say, it may not affect me in every area of my life, but Lord, show me what you're saying to me today that I might make things right." And pray and say, "Oh Lord, don't let me get used to it." And today I believe so many have. We need to pray and ask God to tenderize our heart, so that we can see our sin revealed and see what God thinks of it. God calls on us, by the way. God's never called on us to hate anybody, and I don't hate anybody. I love everybody, and the Bible said Jesus died on the cross for everybody. He died for all of our sin. But the fact of it is today, God calls us to hate sin and to turn to confession, a humble confession and repentance, crying out to God. Friends, salvation is more than going through the baptistry water. It's more than signing a card. It's more than even praying. You've got to be believing in your heart when you pray that prayer that you want Jesus to come into your heart and give you eternal life. I believe many people have prayed a prayer, but somewhere deep down, the Bible tells us if you don't believe in your heart, then it's of no value. In Jude 1:23, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh." Sometimes we speak about the doomsday approach, about a place called heaven, a place called hell. And by the way, if you believe the Bible, there's more said about hell than there is heaven. Everybody don't like you to preach on hell, but that's probably part of the problem today. Not too many preachers do preach on hell. But the reason I preach on it is because I don't want somebody to die and go there and one day say, "Why didn't that preacher tell me about this?" I'm telling you this morning, there's a way to avoid this place, and we can do it if we put our faith and trust. And somebody said, "Well, you try to scare people to get saved." Well, salvation is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it takes scaring them to get them saved, it's okay with me. I just want them to go to heaven, and I want us to be together one day in heaven. David saw one solution. It was mercy and loving kindness. He wanted grace to cleanse him of all of his sins. He said, Lord, wash me. Wash me, in verse 2, thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He couldn't undo a single sin he had committed. And by the way, I say this to you and I emphasize it. It's never right to continue in sin as a child of God. But today, I don't believe God is, I know God's concerned about our sin, especially if we continue in our sin. But today, it's not about what we did yesterday as much as what it is that we do today. God is a forgiving God. God will wash you thoroughly and cleanse you of all your sin. We can't undo a single sin. And by the way, sin has consequences. I believe that's what happened to David. That's what I'm talking about. God forgave him, but the consequences of sin never left. He couldn't fix a single consequence that had resulted from his sin. He couldn't bring Uriah back. Oh, you think about doing something like that. Think how it would just beat in on your head constantly, daily, thinking about you killed a man, Uriah. I bet you David said 1,000 times, I wish he could come back. But yet, you can't undo the sin that has been a result. He couldn't bring his baby back when his baby died. But you know one encouraging thing, and this ought to encourage you. David said about his baby, he said, I can't go to him. Excuse me, he can't come to me, but I can go to him. Isn't it wonderful today to know that people that are saved and in heaven, if we're saved, we're going to heaven, we'll see him again. The joy of that. David couldn't untell all the lies that he told, all the web that he weaved. No hope of cleansing and forgiveness within himself. But he said in Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. This is the solution to our problem. We need to quit trying to cover our sin and cover our lies and cover our adultery and cover the things that people do. And we need to come before an almighty God, by the way, that you're not hiding from anything from anyway, because he knows our hearts and he knows our sin. The Bible said in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. In verse John 1, verse 8 to 10, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in it. David admitted his guilt. And friend, I'm going to be honest with you. If we're going to be right with God, we're going to have to come to the place of admitting our guilt. I know I'm speaking to some wonderful people, but you can still be wonderful and still have sin in your life, because David was a great man. I tell you, much of the Bible, the stories is given about him, David and Goliath, and my, the strength that he had. But I must move quickly. Not only is David's admission of guilt, but David's appeal for grace in verses 7 through 12. Having confessed his sin, David turns to the Lord for his forgiveness of his needs. And he appeals to the Lord, because now that his sins have been forgiven, he needs God's grace to help him repair his life. You see, there's always confession of sin, but there's always a step after that. You've got to do what you can to avoid that sin again and be sure that you get your life back on the place that it needs to be with God. Sin defiles, sin contaminates, and ultimately sin ruins your life. And I tell you today, many a person's life has been ruined by the sins that they committed. There's some of you and even of myself that could stand today and said, there's times that I failed the Lord and I had to come back and get his forgiveness. But I want you to know today, sin can destroy your life, and I'm grateful for God's love and mercy towards us. Then look at the deafness of sin. Look at verse number 8. Here's David. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You see, there had been a time in David's life when God had stirred his heart. There had been a time when David was, he was open. He was right there serving God and being faithful to God. You remember he played the harp? Saul used to call him in and said, "Saul, David, bring your harp. I want you to sing and play your harp, the gentle music that would soothe his soul." Now sin has robbed him of that song. So in verse 8, he said, "I can't hear it anymore, so would you make me to hear the joy and gladness, that these bones which thou hast broken may rejoice?" David says sin deafens the ears of the Spirit so that we can no longer hear the voice of God. Today, if your ears and mind is open, your heart's open, if God speaks today to you, you'll hear it. But if you come in with a day determination that you didn't want to hear anything the preacher said, didn't want to hear anything that God said, then chances are you're going to walk out of here today the same as you did when you come. But we ought to all come with the idea, "Lord, speak to me, speak to my heart." And then there's the disgrace of sin. Look at verse 9. You know what he said? He said, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my transgressions." Why did he say that? Because he was embarrassed. And by the way, I don't have time. I could get off on some rabbit trails this morning, but I've got the message. I want to get through it. But I'm going to tell you, thank God for God's forgiveness. But one day we stand before God, we're going to give an account of every bit of our unconfessed sin. And I think it's going to be an embarrassing thing to stand before God with unconfessed sin and reveal it. David has dishonored the Lord. He's ashamed of what he has done. He's ashamed what he's done to other people. He knows what he has done, but he's more disturbed that he dishonored the Lord. As a preacher today, my greatest desire is that I never bring reproach and shame upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I do that, I would hope that I would be able to get away and just get away so that nobody else would be affected. I would be so embarrassed. I'd be so ashamed. I'd be so disturbed. Friend, I'm telling you, after all God did for me and all God's done for me, how could we forsake him? Sin hides the face of God from us. You see, he said, "Hide thy face from my sins." Sin hides the face of God from me. In fact, you can be saved. And here's a period of time David went through before he confessed that I don't believe he had much of a relationship with God. For the Bible said, if we regard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us. So I believe David's going to a time where God's hid his face from him because he will not look upon that sin. But then we see in verse 10 and 11 the damage of sin. He goes on to say, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Sin had devastated David's life. It had damaged his heart. Sin had left his life in shambles. He had reached a place where he fears that the Lord will cast him away, that he might even take the Spirit of God from him as much they did in the Old Testament. But yet in the New Testament, for by grace we have the Spirit of God and we can never lose it. And we have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. But David is fearful. He doesn't want the old heart repaired. He wants him to make a new one. He said, "Create in me a new heart. Give me exactly what I need." And so again, he talks about creating me a clean heart. It means to make something out of nothing. I tell you today, when we come to church, we ought to come for a cleansing. "Washed in the blood of the Lamb" is a good song, but we need to come for cleansing, for God to do something in our life. I'm going to tell you, I've lived both sides of the fence. I'm not proud of it. And I didn't do it too long on the other side. But I'm grateful for the mercy and the grace of God. And I wouldn't trade nothing for my 45 years or so of ministry that God's given me, and even three, I guess up to about 48 years that God's given me since I got my heart right with God. You know how it happened? I went to church on a Sunday night. I had no intentions of listening to the preacher. I was just there because somebody invited me. But I tell you what, by the time God got through with me, I had saw myself as I really was. And that night, in March of 1973, God changed my life. And I'm grateful today for what he did. Folks, we need to fall in love with him. Woe to be embarrassed or ashamed to bring reproach to his name. Then we see the depression of his sin. Just look with me at the latter part of verse number 12. Now I know verse 12 is a great verse. It says, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. But here he says, uphold me with thy free spirit. David's life had been robbed of the joy of the Lord. I can tell you this. I said a while ago, I've been serving the Lord for about 45 years as far as in the ministry full time. And I'm grateful for it, but it's been the most joyful time. I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't go back to the old way. I wouldn't go back to the things I used to do, not for one single second. I tell you today, I'm thankful for what God did in my life. Sin brought depression into David's life. Now listen to me. The depression undermined all the joy. I know that many people deal with depression. I'm not going to say there's not been times that I probably have been depressed. But I know as we think about this, and I want you to understand, God will give us peace and the closeness and the sense of joy and the blessing that we need that's been stolen away. And today, I know very well that some of people's depression is legitimate. Some of it is caused by chemical imbalances, physical issues that people can't control. I understand that. But you know what I believe I see in this verse? I believe sometime sin against God, unconfessed, can bring about depression and anxiety. And that may be some of the problems I've experienced when I've had depression a few times. I'm saying today, literally, that we don't need to be depressed because of the way we're living and the things we're doing. We need to get right with God and confess our sin and do what God would have us to do. And then, you know what it said? That God will give us the peace that passes all understanding if we put our faith and trust in Him. And then in 12b, he talks about it. He calls him out and said, uphold me with thy free spirit. And in other words, David said, I need some help. David asked the Lord to hold him up. He wants his sin to be defeated. He desires to be free from sin. He desires power from on high. And that should be the way we want it as well. We got to quit making excuses. We got to quit, stop making excuses for sin in the lives. People say, well, you know, we're living in a different age. We're living in a different generation. We're living in a different generation, all right, but God is still God. And He always said He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He said, I will not change. Today, I'm still preaching the same thing I preached when I started out years ago. We come to the place where we want God, and He offers more than we want the sin that is killing us to be gone. And so we weigh it out. A lot of people said today, I'll get right with God. I've got things going on. I'll get right. I've heard that I don't know how many times. And by the way, pray for the family of Ken Kennedy. That's the man that got killed at Walmart this week. He was a member of Calvary Baptist Church in Monticello, Florida, where I used to pastor. He was not there then. But that man just simply went with his wife to Walmart, walked out the front door, and his life was gone. You know, none of us know the day or the hour that our life may be snatched out of this place. And friend, we better understand today that we don't need to prolong it or put it off. And then quickly, and I'll move on, we find David's announcement of gratitude in verses 13 through 19. There's a work that David promised to render. Look what he said, I'm going to do. In verse 13 through 15, then he said, Lord, if you'll do all this for me, and that's the way Christians are many times when they confess their sin, they make promises to God. And the only thing I can say, if you're sincere in pleading for God, be sure you're sincere in doing what you promised God. And then he said, if you'll do this, in verse 13, I will teach the transgressors their ways, and sinners shall be converted unto me. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of Thy righteousness. O Lord, open Thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth Thy praise. When the Lord delivers us from our sin, we'll have a story to tell. I tell you today, here's a work. David said, Lord, if you just do this, I'll do this. But I'm going to tell you, on the opposite side, I've stood by hospital beds and heard people with their own lips say, I promise God, if He'd get me off this bed, if He'd give me my strength back, I would serve Him the rest of my life. I would do everything I could for Him, only to see Him get better and forget the promise they made to God. I don't believe David did, but I believe it's so easy to make promises but then not do anything about it. And then there's a word he promises to remember, a word about himself. Look at verse 16, 17. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. He said, if there was something else I could give you to get that, I'd give it to you, but I know that don't work. He said, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices are a broken spirit and a broken contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So what does God want from us? He doesn't want a burnt offering. He doesn't want a sacrifice that we might give him. You know what he wants? He wants a contrite heart, a broken heart, a confessing heart. The word contrite means to burst, to be crushed. The Lord wants to be tenderhearted toward our sins. God desires that his people are brokenhearted and crushed. A word for the saints. David closes this psalm by vowing to remember that when sin is dealt with properly, the blessings of God will be free to flow out to touch the people of God. We can either have sin and its consequences, or we can have the Lord and his blessings. I can speak from experience. For 45 years, I've had the blessings of God upon my life. Have I sinned? Of course I have. Had I had to confess it? Of course I have. Have I suffered consequences? Sure I have. But thank God today, I've lived a blessed life for a long time because of God's goodness to me. So what do you want? Do you want sin and its pain, its consequences, and its sorrow? Or do you want the Lord and his blessings? The revelation in the mirror will make you honest in understanding of who you are. Several things. There's salvation in the Lord. There's blessings in the Lord. But there's nothing but pain, sorrow, hurt, judgment, depression, defeat, and every other problem you can imagine when you choose to hide your sin. David faced what was revealed to him in the mirror, and he cried out to a holy and loving God. Let's pray.